Last Sunday, we looked into a few scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as He was and as He is in body, soul, and spirit. Now, I'd like for you to see this one, God's eternal Son, as He set forth in a fourfold way in these prophecies that we are opening our Bibles to now. In Zechariah chapter 9, we use Mark verse 9. Zechariah 9:9. And notice the reading of this verse, keeping in mind that the prophet spoke hundreds of years before Christ came. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Here we see the clear-cut prophetic picture of Christ at His first coming to the earth. And there's a hint given there as to what He's going to do when He returns a second time, because He says, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." And then He is the just one. He has salvation. He is the lowly one. And when He comes, He'll come riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That's the appearance of the eternal Son of God at His first coming as the King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who is declared in the book of the Revelation to be the one whose very words will go forth from His mouth, slaying the wicked. And in that particular time of the tribulation period, He'll make Himself known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the wicked shall be brought low, and the meek of the earth shall be exalted, and the kingdom of heaven on this earth will be enjoyed for 1,000 years with this King of Kings on the throne of David, ruling and reigning in righteousness. Now, when you look, as we go back a little further into prophecy, Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And here we find a prophecy concerning the same person whom we have just read about as the mighty King. Here He set forth in prophecy as an humble servant. Isaiah 42, verse 1. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles or to the nations of the world. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Those first three verses, of course, are prophetic statements that will certainly be fulfilled when Christ returns to take over the government of the earth. But he'll come as a servant, a meek and a lowly one. That's how he came the first time, and the prophet saw him at his first advent in this passage. But the same one who is described here as a servant will also be the mighty king who is prophesied in Zechariah 9. Now will you look just a little further back in Isaiah to chapter 40. Chapter 40. And you'll notice again prophecy concerning the eternal Son who was with God and who was God even before the ages began. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice, with strength lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. We read how the prophet said, Behold your king, and how he spoke, saying, Behold my servant. And here he says, Behold your God. Behold your God. Very God in a body of flesh. It was this very God who came down to the people of Israel and made himself known unto the people of Israel as the Father's servant. He himself declared while he was here on the earth to one of his disciples, saying, Philip, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Surely the Father and the Son were one. But he carried the title as the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he is declared to be the great King and the humble servant. And now, if you'll look at Zechariah again, and it's chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man, whose name is the branch, and he shall go up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So we find him set forth under these words, Behold the man. And I want you to see still a few other things concerning these titles. We find the king. We find the servant. We find the man. We find very God manifested in the person of this king, this servant, this man. Very God. So we see this fourfold picture set forth in prophecy. Had the Jews made note of these things, they would have recognized their Messiah when he came. But only a few had studied the Word and longed for the coming of this one who was to be their king, their servant. This man that was more than a man, even the man of God, even very God. Now, in connection with this fourfold prophecy, there is this fourfold gospel account of the fulfillment of these prophecies. You know, as you read the book of Matthew, that the Holy Spirit saw fit to move upon Matthew, who was really, before Jesus called him, an officer of an absolute monarchy. He knew about kingdoms, and he knew about kings. And it pleased God to call out this one from his ministry to the state and use him to write concerning the coming King of Kings. All through Matthew, it's the King and the Kingdom, the King and the Kingdom, the King and the Kingdom. But not so when we come to the Gospel according to Luke. You will note that Christ was also set forth in Isaiah 42:1 as the servant. The servant. Now, Luke, during his life before he was called, was a servant. Even after he was called, he was a servant of Paul and Barnabas for a while. So God took this man who knew something about what it meant to be a servant unto men and let him write the gospel according to Luke. And all through the gospel according to Luke, the title of king is not emphasized at all, but it's the title of the servant. It was Luke who said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And the gospel according to Luke is rich in the instances where Christ, the very God of glory in a body of human flesh, like unto our sinful flesh, actually served as a servant. And then we come to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12, where he set forth as the man. The man. Now, of course, Luke speaks of him as the man. I may have referred to Luke as speaking of him as a servant. It was Mark who spoke of him as a servant. Mark, the servant, wrote concerning him as a servant. Luke, the physician, wrote concerning him as just the man. the man, Christ Jesus. The man, as he went about the work that the Father gave him to do. And finally, when we come to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9, where he set forth as very God, the prophet says, "Behold thy God." And the gospel according to John is where we find the Lord Jesus Christ revealed unto us as the one who was with God and who was God. And by him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he himself, the man, who was very God, made himself known as being full of grace and truth. So we find our Savior set forth with all clearness in prophecy long before he came, and the prophets declared him to be the coming king, the coming servant, the coming man, and very God himself, who was to take up on himself a body of flesh like unto our sinful flesh. And indeed, had not God become man, he could never have become man's Savior. But becoming man, he could live among men his perfect, spotless, sinless life. And then being very God, he could come forth from the grave after his crucifixion and suffering and death as the risen man, the God-man, very God himself, in the person of the risen and exalted man, Christ Jesus. So there in the glory today is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. But before he could go into the glory from the earth, he had to first of all be set forth according to prophecy as a man who was to be king, a man who was to be a servant, a man who was to be a man among men, tempted in all points like other men, a man who had to grow up, and even though he were a son, yet he had to learn obedience to the things that he suffered, a man who was very God in all of his ways. He was perfect in all of his judgments. He was without a blunder. So this God man on the cross of Calvary became our substitute, and the very God of glory, who let him hang on the cross in the blackness and darkness at noonday and cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This very God raised him from the depths of death and hell that he entered into on the cross, and has given him glory at his own right hand. The glorified man. And he has laid out before us the truth that he's given us through the epistles, particularly those of Paul. How that one day, at God's appointed time, our vile body shall be changed into the likeness of his glorious body. For we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. All of this is ours because God sent his Son in the fulfillment of prophecy to die, to be buried, to be raised, to be taken back to the glory, to occupy a place at the Father's right hand this morning. And through faith in his finished work, we who have believed in him have been quickened together with him and raised together with him and seated together with him in the highest of the high heavens. And we're left here in these bodies of flesh with these truths given unto us, we are privileged to yield our bodies, our souls, and our spirits unto him who has bought us, even through his suffering in body, soul, and spirit. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Unless you have received him as God's free gift, who was given to die in your stead, unless you have, as it were, beheld him bleeding, dying in your place on Calvary's cross, then you have no Savior, and you face eternity, an eternal death, and hell in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But thanks be unto God, salvation is offered, and it's offered so far as man is concerned, for free. So far as God is concerned, the greatest price that has ever been paid for anything was paid when we were purchased out of the slave market of sin by our substitute, the Son of God, who was the gift of God unto a lost and perishing world. You cannot receive him merely by shaking hands with a preacher. You cannot receive him by turning over a new leaf and trying to do the best you can. You must receive him as all other sinners have received him, even by believing that it was for you individually that he died, and that God's love flowed out to you in and through the person of Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. You may have him by receiving him. In a moment, in an instant, you can receive him. You can receive him before you leave these doors. You can receive him on your way home this afternoon, tonight, any time. The way is open, and it cannot be closed until God finishes the work that he has for his church, the body of Christ, to do. members of the church, the body of Christ, we must be occupied in going forth with zeal that's according to knowledge, giving the gospel, teaching the word. The Lord help you to see that it's for you, individually, and that God brought you here this morning to hear it when you hear it. Let us pray.